Om Shanti. I'd like to introduce Sister Gopi from the UK, although maybe she's very international now. She's born in Kenya. Her whole family's in Guyana, and she came to Baba at a very young age. She's been trained and sustained by many of the daddies, and very, very close to Daddy Janki, often translating for Daddy Janki. And you must really know her from Oxford Retreat Centre, where she served for many years. And also over the last few years, she's had a very big service project, which is health and safety in Madhuban at the three complexes. So for me, Gopi is a very articulate speaker, goes to the depths of any topic that she talks about with a lot of interest and inspiration. So tonight the topic is my subtle and secret relationship with the Supreme. She's going to take us into a cocoon of silence so we can experience the warm embrace of God's love. So enjoy.
Om Shanti. Since early morning, Daddy's love, and especially silence, has been quite a powerful presence. And today, as I was discussing earlier with Trish, I'd like to explore this topic of, well, I wouldn't say secret relationship with Baba, because with Daddy nothing was ever a secret. You told her something one day and next thing you know, she would publicize it in class the next day. And her relationship with Baba wasn't a secret. What was inside was outside, but it was very, very subtle. And very, very powerful. And I guess as I was reflecting on my own experience and my own relationship with Baba, and deeply appreciating the example that this particular Daddy has been in my life to show me how to relate to God and to make God a constant companion. And so today is Daddy's Day, and I wanted to explore this topic through the blessings that Baba has given Daddy. You know, one of the first experiences in a relationship is through drishti. When a child is born, a little baby, all it knows is to look into its mother's eyes. And through drishti, a bond develops, a sense of belonging develops, drawing love, an exchange of love develops, so much so that in the child's awareness, it knows who its mother and father is. Even before saying the words mummy and daddy, through the experience of drishti, the child has in its awareness its parents. And so remembrance is such a subtle thing, because it's not just thinking about Baba. It's deeper than that. It's staying in Baba's drishti and staying in front of Baba in such a way that, as Jayanti Ben was sharing today, somebody asked Daddy, "Daddy, how many hours of remembrance do you have a day?" And she said, "Ask me how many hours I don't have." So awareness is something that is always there. It never disappears. And so today, there are so many different facets of this journey in relationship with Baba. And I was sitting down and thinking, penning through all the different stories that Daddy has shared with us and my own personal experience with Daddy. And so there are a lot of different colors and facets of this diamond-like relationship. So today, I'm going to invite you to just keep an open mind and an open heart and start by receiving blessings, accepting blessings. I remember many years ago, I'd interviewed the three daddies at different points. First was Daddy Kumarka, and I'd asked her the question, "Daddy, why does Baba love you so much?" And Daddy looked at me and said, "Because Daddy's eyes have never become absorbed in a person or a thing." You know how when your eyes and your drishti gets trapped in something? Daddy's eyes have never become trapped in a person or a thing. Only one Baba and none other. And that was very true of Daddy Kumarka. And then I asked Daddy Gulzar a little bit later in a different context, "Daddy, why does Baba love you so much?" And Daddy replied, Gulzar Daddy replied, "Because I've made Baba my world, and Baba is in my sanskars." So in Hindi they rhyme, sanskar and sansar, world. Baba is in my sanskars, and Baba is my world, my sansar. And very true, once again. If you look at Gulzar Daddy's life, she renounced all lokic activity. You know what we do for ourselves, to fend for ourselves every day? She didn't have any of this sanskars for fending for herself. To be Baba's mini Bhagirath chariot. And then much later, I asked Daddy Janki the question, "Why does Baba love you so much?" And Daddy replied to say, "Because she's followed every one of Baba Dada's directions and made them practical. She's been obedient, faithful, loyal and honest in following Baba's directions. And be they directions for service, for self-effort, for relationships, she hasn't missed out any of these directions." Now, wherever you are, I'd like you to take a moment now and just put yourself in front of Baba. And just feel the response to this question, "Why does Baba love you so much?" This is a very important question to answer for yourself. And it's not something to think, it's something to feel. Because as Baba spoke in this morning's Murli, he was very clear about there's some speciality in each soul that has attracted God to you. And if I can feel that attraction that God has for me, then it will always keep me in an orb of feeling special and unique. Yeah, that's what we want. That's what, you know, human love, and when people get, because they feel special to each other. I remember the last conversation I had with Daddy Jenki was in December 2019. And we were in her bedroom, and this was just before she was going to embark on a tour of Bangalore. And I asked her the question, I said, "Daddy, what are you seeing right now?" And she said, "In our days with Sakar Baba, we always had this feeling that we were special. Baba gave that feeling to us, and we also accepted and had that feeling inside ourselves. And now, in all the expansion, there's an ordinariness that's emerged. People are walking and moving around, being ordinary." And so then I asked her, what is it going to take for people to feel special again? And she gave a very interesting response. She said, "When you feel ordinary, you will waste your time, your thoughts, and your energy in small, small things. When you feel special, you will give value to your thoughts and time and energy." And I feel this is so important for us at this time. Because as Brahmin souls, ancestor souls of the world, it's on our specialities, on the shoulders of our specialities, that the progress on the fortune of other souls also rests. And that is life story. Many of you know bits and pieces of it, but Daddy's family, Baba knew, Sakar Baba, had a good connection with Daddy's family. And Daddy often talked about the first time she met Sakar Baba. She was going for a walk with her father and met Sakar Baba on the way. And she had a vision. And she felt this was the one that she was looking for. And since that time, she accepted Sakar Baba as her father. And her journey began, even though she had bondage, she was, you know, I wouldn't say forced, but she had to get married. And it was a bondage that lasted about a year and a half. And then finally, with the help of her Lokik father, she was able to be free of the bondage and come and be in the Yajna from 1937 onwards. You know, when you love someone, and when you, how do you say, demonstrate the proof of love? And one of the questions I remember Daddy asking very early on is, what type of love do I want? Ask your heart that question. What type of love do I want? Do I want human love that brings me comfort in the here and now? Or do I want a love that is selfless, that is honest, that is altruistic, a love that makes me free? Because this is the basis. This will be the basis on which you develop a close and subtle connection with Baba. Daddy, since a young age, she's always had some health issues or another. I remember Jenti Ben saying at least four times she's been near death's door. Four times. And one particular time, it was maybe around, my memory serves me, June 1968, and she'd come from Pune to Madhuban, and her health wasn't very good. So she couldn't do any karmana seva, physical service. And in those days in Madhuban, there was a lot of physical service to be done. So she complained to Baba and she said, "But Baba, I can't do anything. How will my fortune be created?" And Baba said to her, "Child, your fortune and future is in the hands of the bestower of fortune. God always sees you in a high and elevated stage." And since that time and moment, it doesn't matter what health challenges Daddy had, she was able to accept them with grace because it completely released her. Accepting that blessing from Baba released her into a bed of trust. If my fortune and my future is in the hands of the bestower of fortune, then what am I worrying about? And I suppose, you know, all of us have to face test papers in our lives, different forms of test papers that come to us. And yet the bed of trust, three things she would always talk about. Vishwas, trust, honesty, sachai, and courage. Three things required to sustain a subtle connection with God. And I feel very deeply that because Daddy released herself and lay on that bed of trust, that she could then release ownership of everything. You know, whether you like it or not, we still walk around owning something. Either our self-image, either our qualifications, our achievements, what we've done in service, there's something we're still owning. And when we lay on that bed of trust, nothing is mine. Nothing. And there's a deep secret of success. Karan Karavanhar Baba's doing everything. And one of the first blessings Baba gave to Daddy. And I remember this particular, it was in Avyakt Murli, but this was very, very early on. But this Avyakt Murli, Baba spoke much later. Baba talked about three categories of children. The first, who become Bap Saman, i.e., the quality of love makes them equal to the father, makes them masters. To become Bap Saman means to make yourself a full master. The second was those who just come into a relationship with the Father. And the third are those who keep a connection with the Father and do service. And for the daddies, of course, their love for Baba and their efforts meant that the return of love was to become equal. And so this is a blessing that Baba gave to Daddy on the 23rd of March 1970. And I'm going to read the blessing out, and then I'm going to leave a minute of silence after that. Because I'd like you to just accept this blessing and feel it in your life and see what response comes up for you. So Baba's speaking to Daddy and saying, "Up to now, you have become an embodiment of words. In the future, you will become an image that grants visions. Your stage at the end will become one in which there is the practical experience of Bab Dada in everyone. The sound that will emerge through everyone's lips is, this is an identical form of Bab Dada. When you become an identical form, others will have visions. And therefore, because people see this final form in everyone, they have mixed everything up and say, all are the form of God. They have considered the stage of being equal to the Father as being the form of God. All of these things have happened here. And so in order to become an image that grants visions, you have to become equal to Bab Dada. What should you now check? This stage of equanimity. There should be no other form of checking. Those were the things of childhood. You now have to check this. The greater the equanimity, the greater the respect you will receive. You can know your self-respect through your equanimity. You can know your self-respect through your equanimity. So ask to what extent you've become equal and how much equality you have to bring. This is what you have to check and inspire others to check. Consider this too. The more equanimity, the more closeness. Dadi's approach and my feeling about coming close to Baba is less about making the effort to come close to Baba and more about removing what's in the way, finishing what's in the way, because this is a relationship that is eternal. And yet there's something in my awareness and my consciousness that makes it limited. And I remember one time asking Nadi this question, what does it take, what kind of preparation should I make inside so that I can come close to Baba in a real way? And Nadi's response was very beautiful. She said, you have to look after your intellect inside and make it very peaceful and pure. Because only when you make your intellect inside peaceful and pure, that you will recognize who Baba is, what he does, and what he is enabling and doing through others. And I realized that a lot of Daddy's journey in her life was sustaining an attentiveness. She always had an attentiveness towards Baba in everything she was doing. Whether she was giving class, talking to us, eating, maybe taking pills, medicine. She always had this attention towards Baba. You know, nowadays we get this question, well, how can I pay attention? You know, I've so many things we have to do in our lives, and how can we remember Baba? And yet, this faculty of paying attention to something you love whilst you're doing something else is there. Think about a mother that's holding a baby in her arms. She's got the baby, she's walking around the house. She cooks and cleans and she's on the phone. At no point does she say, oh, oops, I dropped the baby. I forgot I had a baby in my hand because I was so busy cooking or so busy walking or so busy on the telephone. I forgot I had the baby in my hands. And this was one of Daddy Jenki's favorite phrases, you know, to make God your child. Make Baba your baby and you will receive the experience of Jivan Mukti, liberation in life. That the experience of having Baba as your baby and enabling that attention to remain on Baba means you will remain liberated from being trapped in any scene that comes in front of you. You won't get trapped in what you're doing. You won't get trapped in the stories of that people come in front of you with. Because just that attentiveness on Baba gives you the experience of freedom. You know, Baba is amazing. Baba can be whatever you want him to be. And Baba's presence acts like a buffer. Baba's presence also acts like blotting paper. It takes things away before it reaches you. And this is what I noticed about Daddy a lot. It wasn't that she was paying attention to me, but she was with Baba and listening. And that's why any soul that came to Baba, that came to Daddy, always felt, even if she gave 1 minute of attention, they felt satisfied. I have so many stories like this. You know, one of the things that often gets mortgaged, when I say mortgaged, it just gets cut, is your attention. Because you have to get something done, you're trying to prove something, you're trying to go somewhere. And I remember one time, we were in Oxford, and there was a retreat session that was about to start. And of course, I had just come before that session, come to Daddy, to ask her a couple of things. And I seen she was busy with someone, but she gave me an indication to just stand outside her room. So I was just peacefully standing there. And then the sister who was conducting the retreat session, she came rushing in a few minutes later. And she came in, and the other person had finished, and she said to Daddy, Daddy, let's go, your session's about to start. And Daddy said, Gopika. And in that 1 minute, I concentrated, I asked her what I had to ask her, she listened, she gave me the response. That 1 minute felt like 5 minutes. She didn't let the rushing of the session, the urgency of having to go into the session, overtake the moment, what drama put in front of her in that moment. She was very, very true to the drama. And that was one of the amazing things about Daddy. She'd made drama her best friend. She responded. And in that moment, whatever needed to be done, she gave attention and finished it. There was never anything left over to the next thing. This was that one of Daddy's slogans. Ab nahi, to kab nahi. If not now, then never. And so there's something that's very interesting about a subtle relationship with Baba. Is it actually brings about an energy of instantaneousness. You will be instantly proactive in life when there is subtle attention on Baba. Because there's no I and my, so you're not carrying the load of having to respond, and I'm having to respond, and I have to do this, which leaves you so free to just be available. Which is what these daddies were. Completely and fully available. I remember one time, it was an interview with Daddy on the subject of Sakash. Because it was a series of Murlis Baba had spoken about on Mansa Seva. And Daddy had described Sakash, often the normal kind of human interpretation of Sakash is you visualize somebody, you put them in front of Baba and you think about them and you send them light and might and good wishes. That's still gross. Daddy was saying, it's when you come so close to Baba in that feeling, where you deeply generate this feeling, there is nothing and no one else except me and Baba. Nothing and no one else except me and Baba. That feeling and vibration serves as light and might for every soul who needs it. And so when we think about Sakash in those terms, and just stop for a moment now. And just step into that world with Baba. Right now. It's just me and my Baba. And let the silence of that connection transform into light and might. This is the foundation of everything. Daddy would often say to us, realize your weakness. And one day while I was taking her for a walk, I said to her, Daddy, will you tell me what my weakness is? And she said to me, why should I do your work for you? Good point. She's not going to dig up my dirt for me. So then we walked a few steps ahead, and I said to her, well, can you tell me how I can discover my weakness? And she said to me, sit quietly with Baba in silence and see what it is that still keeps you distant from Baba. So take a few moments now. And sitting quietly with Baba. And just observe. What is it that's still keeps you a little bit distant from Baba. The last few years before Daddy passed away, I was witness to a stage of complete surrender. Daddy had a powerful will, and she didn't like being told what to do, as most of us don't. But she always made her own program, didn't matter who was around her, she knew what she had to do. And over the course of time, she just completely surrendered to the drama and to what was around her. And I would watch these brothers pick up her wheelchair, like, you know this garden, the Janki Park here, and then there's some rocks and there's this swan there. And one of the brothers decided we need to take a picture of Daddy by the swan. So four brothers picked her wheelchair up and climbed the rock with it and put it next to the swan to be able to take a picture with her. And she just sat there like this. I mean, that was an utter marvel for me, because had anybody done that to me, it would have been a completely different story. And I thought, gosh, it was like whatever last few moments that souls in her company, whatever they needed from Baba, she just surrendered and allowed drama and Baba to give them whatever they needed. This was her stage towards the end. And I feel that in our Brahmin journey, that's where we're headed. You know, and there's such an internal effort and preparation and cultivation of yourself to come to a point at which you are a completely clean conduit, where there's nothing left of you, so that drama and Baba can use you like a puppet to fulfill numerous desires all at once. Because in that moment, as she surrendered, not only the people around her are getting what they need, but the devotees who are worshipping her images are also experiencing something. And this is something that I just really appreciated with Daddy. Her generosity and her big-heartedness to reach the point of complete surrender, you need to cultivate a big heart. You can't just suddenly wake up today and say, well, I'm just surrendered to Baba. There's too many strings holding you down of subtle eyes and minds. You need to pass a few hurdles. And there's a particular blessing that Baba gave Daddy, and I call it a big heart, because, you know, this is what I feel is the basis and the preparation required for the journey to complete surrender. And this was a blessing Baba gave to Daddy in April, the 1st of April 1978. When you carry out any program with a big heart, it is good. There should not be questions of how or what will happen. Yeah? First renunciation of questions. It has to happen, and we have to do it. Success is our birthright. So this is a good result. London has a big heart. The big heart of daughter Janak is number one. Why? She doesn't ask questions such as why or how. Instead, it just happens. Everyone must have seen how easily it happened. But that they heard that there was some expense, but there was a greater saving. There was a saving, it increased even more, it was sufficient. So whose wonder was this? It was the result of a big heart. Whenever there is a program, if first you have a big heart, success will surely follow. Congratulations. Baba says, daughter Janak always maintains zeal and enthusiasm, and it is a nature to have godly intoxication and to increase enthusiasm in everyone else through her own enthusiasm. So just take a moment now and just observe your own levels of enthusiasm. And just be aware of what questions or doubts still compromise your big-heartedness and enthusiasm. One of the signs of enthusiasm is lightness. And that's always been my experience. To stay close to God, you have to stay light. And one of the amazing things about the Dadis is their subtlety and their closeness to Baba meant they sustained an enthusiasm. Nothing heavy could get in between them and Baba. And as a result of that, they could so quickly catch the needs of others. And I saw, you know, her work was to make people feel light. I remember sitting at the reception at GRC one day, and there was a person who called who was very troubled, had financial difficulties. And there was a seating area in the corner. And Daddy, I transferred the phone to Daddy. And Daddy's talking to him. And Daddy's going, what are you worrying about? Daddy's sitting here for you. And the whole 5-minute conversation, she was just making him completely carefree. And I realized this is what somebody who's close to God does. They help, not only are they relieved of their own burdens, but they help others to become relieved of their burdens, to bring them close to Baba. And you know, one of the personal experiences I had in the early days of setting up Oxford, it was one of the first retreat centers. And you know, it was a lot. You have to do everything. And in those days, retreats would be Friday to Sunday, Tuesday to Thursday, Friday to Sunday, like a constant cycle. And on one particular occasion, remember we finished breakfast around 10:30, and then we had to start for lunch an hour later. And I had such a headache, and all I wanted to do was to go to my room and lie down. But to be able to get to my room, I have to cross Daddy's room. And I thought to myself, oh dear, how am I going to get to my room without Daddy seeing me? And so as I walked through the corridor, her door was open. And I thought, put your head down and walk fast. So I did, and I rushed to the other end of the corridor, to the door, and then I heard, go pee. I thought, oh, she's seen me. So I went into her room, and she was meeting a group, a Sindhi group. And of course, they were speaking in Hindi, Sindhi, and they didn't need me. And she's like, come here, sit down. And I sat there, and I'm thinking, why she called me? You know, she doesn't really need me. I could be going lying down in bed. I've got a headache. And then, you know, she's having this chit-chat with the group. And I'm sitting there, 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 15 minutes go by. And then the group leaves, and in between she says to me, okay, go and get this toli, go and get this blessing. And then the group leaves, and she turns around to me, and she said, where were you going? And I said to her, I was going to my bed, I have a headache. And she said, yes, Daddy caught the vibration that something wasn't right as you walked by. Do you know why Daddy called you? Daddy called you to make you light. See these 10-15 minutes of chit-chat? Daddy will tell you a secret. Never go to bed with a heavy head. Always make yourself light with something, then go to bed. She said, do you feel better? I said, yes, Daddy, I feel better. It was, you know, nice to be with you always. And she said, okay, now go to bed. And you know, I was so touched. It's like when you think about care at the deepest level, you can't fake this. This is the byproduct of what you do with yourself and God. You can only sustain someone on the basis of how you sustain yourself. And these are the small aspects of Daddy's care. And you know, you would say it's fortune, but I would say it helped me to understand the kind of effort I need to be making. And of course, in all of Daddy's life, you know, to sustain, when I said to ask yourself the question, what kind of love do you want? If you sincerely want altruistic love, then it comes with a condition. And that condition is zero waste. And that was Daddy's principle. You know, Daddy often in the early days of her life would be called a sannyasi because she would spend so much time on her own in solitude. But later on, all of that cocooning work she did in her early years meant that she could serve in an unlimited way with her pure drishti and pure attitude, so much so that in 1974, you know, after decades of tapasya and service in India, she came to the West to expand services. And do you know somebody from the age of 60 to 104 supporting the expansion of Baba's services in 120 countries worldwide? I mean, it's phenomenal. And in that time, in 74, service was increasing in Bharat. Sudeshdevi often tells us in Delhi there was a classroom of 300 people. And they left that to come to the UK when there's maybe 8 or 10 people, and that only at the weekend. And never the thought, oh, but we've left such a lot of service to come here and there's so few people. Never. This is a big heart. No questions that bring you into a limited consciousness of what you see in the present moment. And that's why, on the basis of renouncing those questions and those doubts, Daddy was able to sustain a big heart and allow Baba's vision and Baba's plan to manifest. And it's not that she sat there going, okay, how am I going to plan world service? Right? What's my vision for world service? No. She stayed so close to Baba that the vision and plan for world service manifested through the souls that came in front of her. Imagine Ken and Charlie as hippies, opening the door of Tennyson Road. Here's a white sari wala from India opening the door to a couple of hippies. What would that look like in those days? You might question and think, oh, where have they come from? Oh, they might smell a bit. But what did Daddy see? Daddy saw Baba's child. And the drishti that Daddy kept for them enabled them to become the instruments they are today. This is big-heartedness. She saw Baba's plan through every jewel that came in front of her, and she invested 110% in each jewel. The plan manifested, not through the work, but through the jewels that came in front of her. And as each jewel was sustained, a little bit of the puzzle got revealed. Their parts opened up, their fortunes opened up. And that's how things grew. It was an organic growing. It's not like a project management plan. Yeah? It's the ability to keep the intellect plain and recognize the jewel that comes in front of you. You know, most people in life today have trust issues in relationships. Yeah, it's a common question. And I remember many years ago we were working with a group in a particular country, and they were having issues, and you know, they had to finish a big project. And we brought them to Madhuban, and we had a meeting with Daddy. And one of the brothers in the group said to Daddy, "This person is lying to me. How can I trust him?" And Daddy's response was beautiful. Daddy said, "You can't trust someone's nature and sanskars, but you can trust how Baba wants to use them." And that was just so heart-touching for me, because it completely reframed the network and the fabric of our Brahmin relationships. That Baba has chosen each one of us. Baba is enabling a special part to be played amongst each one of us. Whatever our sanskars and swabhav, nature and sanskars, it's our own personal packaging that's the result of our karma. And each one's packaging is their problem, not mine. So if I make their nature and sanskars the basis on which I destroy trust, what am I doing? I'm getting myself involved in something that is none of my business. Somebody else's nature and sanskars is none of my business. And it was such a beautiful thing that as a Brahmin, as an instrument, that's my primary responsibility. To keep my drishti, the inner eye of my perception, so clean that I can recognize why Baba's chosen this individual and what Baba wants to do through them. And to stay stubborn to that. Yes, things happen. Yes, there'll be times when people come under an influence and say and do things. You know, Daddy would say to us, "Don't blame anybody. They're just under an influence. Have mercy." And of course, your ego in that moment reacts and says, "But they lied to me." Right? And yet, the merciful vision of seeing that a soul is under the influence of their own nature and sanskars. At that moment, the soul needs mercy, not more judgment or criticism. And you know, just as a mother's vision raises a child, because a mother can see, no matter what the child is like, the mother can see what's special about that child. In the same way, Baba's vision on us, Daddy's visions on us, have enabled us to grow beyond the bondage of our nature and sanskars, and the trappings of our nature and sanskars. And that's the gift we need to give each other. And of course, you might think, you know, Daddy used to listen to stories. Absolutely not. You know, I remember one time taking her for a walk. And One of the things I appreciated about Daddy from a very young age, you know, I've known Daddy as childhood friends, not just her, but other daddies, she would always say to me, make me your friend. And for me, that was the best relationship, because I could just be open with her as I was and what I was. And I learned so much through that. And in one particular walk with her, I said to her, you know, we usually used to walk in silence. And then she said to me, is everything okay? I said, yes. But you know, Daddy, there's one particular brother I'm having difficulty with. He's doing this, he's doing this. And she stopped halfway. And she looked at me and she gave me such stern drishti. She said, what do you want? Do you want Daddy to listen and to believe what you're saying? You want Daddy to accept that this person is like that? Is that what you want? If you continue like this, you're going to develop a sanskara of complaining. And what's that going to do to your fortune? She said, Daddy's not going to listen to a single word. And that was it. And really, in that moment, that's her mercy for me. And her protection to stay stubborn. I'm going to hold on to the speciality of that soul. And you know, Daddy would protect our dignity. There was a time when, you know, in reception, you know what it's like when people come, they don't come on time, they come late. And there's a particular sister sitting at reception, and the notice had gone out to all the retreat people to come at a particular time so they could be served lunch on time. Lunch was a very narrow window. And there was one particular sister that came from London, again, she was a BK guest, she'd come from London, and she came an hour late. Okay? So she arrived expecting lunch. And this sister at reception got a bit flustered because there was no food. And then there was nobody to take her to a room. And so in the fluster, because she was trying to make arrangements, there was a bit of a reaction. And so the BK got quite upset. And later in the evening, she went to Daddy, the BK went to Daddy, and complained. And said, I came and I wasn't given any food and I wasn't, you know, handled properly and I wasn't welcomed well, da da da. And Daddy said, oh, well, who was at reception? Daddy said, and she said, it was this sister at reception. And Daddy said, oh, but this sister's like this, and she has this quality, and she's always so kind, and she's always so respectful. And Daddy gave her a list of 20 specialities. So much so that BK guest just melted, and later on went to apologize to the sister at reception, to say, I'm really sorry for my reaction. What is our business? This is the effort that keeps you close to God, where we protect each other's dignity and self-worth. Because as we protect that delicate fabric of divinity, we automatically stay in God's heart. We stay. Sangam Yuga is the time to stay on God's heart throne. And so whatever I do, let me enable others to remain on God's heart throne. Let me talk about souls in such a way that people feel this one lives in God's heart. And I feel this is the support that's needed now for us to develop that harmony and unity, the purity of vision and attitude, to be able to reveal Baba to the world. Gosh, I have so many, many stories. I'm sorry, it's so hard to know where to stop. And I'm looking at the time, but I have two more things to share with you. Is that okay? One particular thing. It was a meeting with the teachers, a small group, and Daddy was going around asking each one of us to tell her at present time what we felt our subtle weakness was. She used to do this regularly. And it was very helpful because when you have to reveal your weakness, you let go of your body consciousness. That's part of it. And as you release body consciousness, you release the grip of your own nature and sanskars. Right? And in one particular session, when it came to my turn, I said to her, Daddy, I don't... criticize people here. I've managed to conquer that, you know, critical thinking about people. But I do subtly realize, observe that I note someone else's weakness. It's just a noting of someone's weakness. It's a subtle thing, but I note it. And she went into silence. She gave a beautiful response. She said, for that, just go deeper into the experience of the light of the soul. And even that will disappear. That is compassion. Was incredible because her responses were not logical or rational, they were spiritual. You know, she would never give you a response that made you compare something on a lateral level. Now, I remember somebody had written me an email, half a page, outlining my weaknesses and what I'd done wrong in service and how big an ego I had. And when I printed off this email, I didn't know how to respond to it. What was I going to do? Prove myself in every line? Yes, I have a big ego. Yes, I have aspects of my nature and some scars that maybe, you know, are a bit bossy, are a bit forceful. But in that moment, I remember reading that email and thinking, no, I can't respond to this email like this. It's not appropriate. So how do I respond? And then I thought, let me take it to Daddy. So I went to her room and I took her this email. She reads good English, huh? And I sat down. And she's reading this email of all my defects and weaknesses that somebody else has written. And I'm sitting here, bracing myself, going, okay. You had the courage to tell her what your weakness was. Now, do you have the courage to listen to a correction? And I was kind of strengthening the waters in my stomach, you know, bracing myself. And after about 5 minutes, she pulled down her glasses and she looked at me. And she waved this email at me and she said, if you keep this in your mind, in your conscious mind, then whatever Baba has given you isn't reaching that soul. And that soul's complaints will continue. In that moment, in 1 second, she released me from all self-consciousness. She released me from the consciousness of my own nature and samskara. And just took me straight to the thing that matters the most in service. The attainments I receive from Baba, and at all costs, keeping myself so clean and clear that others receive those attainments. Which means I can't keep anything anyone has said in my mind or in my chit, in my memory track. And in an instant, and since that time when I reflected on this, I realized, why is it that people complain about me? And in Brahmin life, or complain about each other as Brahmins, because they're not getting the benefit of your relationship with Baba. They're just hitting the wall of your nature and samskaras. But if I look after myself in such a way that whatever I've attained from Baba, people are experiencing, people will be able to accept me as I am and who I am. And that's her secret. And on the last note, one of the other things she shared, which is Daddy's strength, that whilst performing actions, accumulate the power of silence. When Global Cooperation House was built in 1991 and 1992, I remember Daddy making a speech, and in that speech she said, this is the proof of the power of silence. And later on she went to qualify this. What does it mean to accumulate the power of silence? Because this was Daddy's strength and forte. And Daddy had given a beautiful description. She said, it's so important to give yourself time to make your thoughts determined and elevated. Give yourself time to do this. And that's what she did. You know, you would think the periods of time before 91 that he would experience frequent bouts of bad health. You know, she would be bedridden. But those were moments where Baba would tell her, your intellect is having rest. Your body is getting rest. But in those rest periods, this is what she would do. She would go beyond the fluctuation of the mind and make her thoughts determined and elevated. Because you have to set a bar for your thinking. If you don't set a bar for your thinking, Maya will come in and play around and entertain you with all kinds of thought patterns. And so there's so important this certain thought patterns, this is not who I am. Set the bar. Give yourself that time and space to set that bar. And as you set that bar, automatically silence is being accumulated because you're not entertaining any waste. And as you continue to perform actions with determined and elevated thoughts, you will continue to accumulate the fruits of contentment and silence. So many, many treasures. Daddy was a giant effort maker. She didn't stop making subtle effort till her last breath. And it wasn't effort for her. It was love. Deep love from the heart to become like Baba. And so today is a powerful invitation because this daddy doesn't need a body to serve. And I remember Jagdish Pai saying, if you need us ancestor souls, just remember us. I do that a lot. Huh? I'm constantly invoking one daddy or dada at some point, and especially Daddy Jenki. Her good wishes had no distance. And today is a day to create a determined and elevated thought for yourself. And let Baba's power, the power of all of our ancestors, stamp that. So that we can truly give a return of love and become Bab Saman. Om Shanti.